sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to That's a Freebie. I am going to start the show, as always, with an Ask a Freebie question. This week's question is really straightforward, but I will probably complicate it because that's what I do. If you haven't noticed that by now, then you need to listen more carefully. The question is, white or brown bread? Now, that is a simple question, but it does not have a simple answer. Not for me, anyway. I imagine it's probably the same for most people out there. So I like both. I think if I had to choose one and I could only ever have that one for the rest of my life, I would probably choose brown bread, because I do really like brown bread, especially seeded brown bread. I really like seeded brown bread. However, it does all depend on the filling or the use. So if I'm having, like, let's say a ham sandwich, brown seeded bread, perfect, right? But if I'm having a bacon sandwich, big white fluffy farmhouse bread, absolute favourite. Unless sourdough is available. Really like sourdough bread. And I mentioned this to somebody the other day, which is where this question came from. I, from time to time, like to convince myself that I really like rye bread. I don't know why, but I get into my head, ooh, a bit of pastrami on rye. It sounds really, really nice. It's not. Rye bread is disgusting. It's like chewing cardboard that's already been chewed. Well, that's my take on it, anyway. Let me know what you think. If you would like to send in your own question for Ask a Freebie, all you do is go to thatsafreebie.com and you can fill in the form on there that has sections for Ask a Freebie. You can submit a Podtails episode topic, or you can just give me general feedback as well. I have recently made a few updates to the form. It should be a little bit easier to fill in. And more importantly, I now will be able to see it easier. It actually shows up now in my show planning document when I receive a response, which I think is pretty amazing. It's great. You fill in the form and I go to plan a show and it just shows up. It's fantastic. Can't believe that I never thought of trying to find a way to do that right from the start. I mentioned last time that the car was going for its MOT and I was very, very nervous about it. So my expectation was that the car was going to horribly, horribly fail the MOT. Like, I was expecting to have issues with the lights, the front tyres, a track rod end. There was probably something else in there as well, but that's enough. I was expecting all this to be quite problematic. And the only thing it failed on was the front lights. I was really surprised. Now, the reason I was expecting front lights is because every single time it goes for an MOT, the left-hand light is always a little bit too low compared to where it should be. So they always needed an alignment doing. And I always say to them, if it fails on headlight alignment, feel free to just adjust it and I'll pay for it when you come back. Because I'm so used to it being that, that I just factored that into the cost of it now. But I had also noticed recently that the front light on the passenger side was a little bit dimmer than you would normally expect. I wasn't too sure if that was due to alignment or not. So anyway, I went back to pick the car up and they said that the lights are basically, they're too cloudy. So that's obviously not good. It means they're not lighting the road up properly. Everything else that I thought was going to fail on was just a advisory. So there are things that I need to get done, and I will get them done. The front tyres especially do need sorting out, but I want to get the front tyres and the track rod end done at the same time because the track rod end is causing the tyre to wear unevenly. And so they said about this light, they said, it's either going to need the full light replacing or it's just going to need cleaning. So I went, okay. I was expecting quotes, so I was like, have you got a price on that so I could decide which, you know, if I want to do it, what I want to do? He looked at me and said, oh no, I don't know how much it'd be. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm thinking, is this not like a basic part of the job? Like, something fails on the MOT, do you not think I better get them a quote for that when they come back and they can decide if you want to do it or not? it's called Try to Get Business. So I said, oh, is it not something that you do here? Would I need to take it somewhere else? And they said, oh, yeah, no, we do that, yeah. So I was like, well, can I have a quote for it then? And seemed very surprised that I wanted a price on getting this done and said, oh, well, give me a minute. And disappeared out back and came back and said, well, if it just needs cleaning, it'll be about £65. So I went, right, okay. And then they said, and if it ends up that the cleaning doesn't work, it'll be more than that. I'm like, right? How much more? Like, can you get me an idea? I'm like, oh no, I don't know. Without looking it up, I don't know. So I'm like, okay, can you look it up? Like, so at this point as well, we're getting to the point where I really need to get out of there and go and get the kids. But of course, now my car's failed its MOT, so I've only got a limited amount of time to be able to get it booked back in. I think it's a week, isn't it? If I remember rightly, so. It's 2:30 by this point. I need to pick the kids up at 3:30. And if I'm driving, not a problem. I can get there in 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. If I'm walking, it's a bit of a trek. It's a bit of a trek indeed, right? So I'm thinking, well, I need to know what I'm doing with the car for the rest of the afternoon. Am I leaving it for the work to be done or what? So I said, well, can you get me a price on the headlight? And they're like, well, no, not right now. So okay. So I said, well, give me a minute. Let me have a quick Google. So I looked up the cost of getting a headlight, you know, just buying it myself and fitting it myself. Probably would not have done that, but I was looking it up just to get a rough idea of the cost. I was thinking basically whatever it costs, add a couple of £100 onto it, because that's probably what they'll charge to fit it. Anyway, it was working out at nearly £450 to £500 just to buy the headlight. So I was like, right, well, if it needs that, it's probably a case of I'd rather just get a new car at this point. So I said, right, here's what I'm seeing. But I need to know if the cleaning of the light works. So how does this work? Now, I need to get that sorted. Do you sell a cleaning kit? And be like, well, we do sell a cleaning kit, but we only have one of them left in stock. And it's one of the ones reserved for us to use if we ever need to. So I'm like, well, this sounds like a situation where you need to. Could you maybe use it on my car? And I'll pay you for it. And they said, right, yeah, that's what the £65 did before. So I said, right, if it doesn't work, do I still have to pay for it? I understand if I do, because you've used it. I'm actually not that bothered about that. I'd rather not, but I do get it. You've used the part, as it were. And they said, oh no, we're not monsters. We wouldn't charge you for something that hasn't worked. So I'm like, right, okay, so when can I get it done? They said, oh, well, we're fully booked up now until the end of December. I'm like, what? But I need to get this solved within a reasonable amount of time so I can get it retested. And then they went, yeah, give me a minute. And disappeared out back in. This was an insane conversation. And up to now, I've been there for about 25 minutes. Three other people have been and collected the cars in this time. So anyway, they came back and said, actually, one of the mechanics has said, if you're willing to leave it with us now, they'll try and do it before the end of the day. But we do close at 6:00. So what I would suggest is getting here about 5:45 to collect it. So I'm like, yeah, all right, that's not a problem. I'll do that. So I set off walking for the children. To cut a longer story short, I essentially got the kids. We had to, so it took me about 45 minutes to walk to school. Then we had to walk back. I really needed the toilet, so we stopped at the pub on the way and we had a drink in the pub. We had Coke. I didn't get the kids drunk. That would be ridiculous. Hilarious, but ridiculous. So we stopped and we watched some tennis in the pub. Toby was really fascinated with the tennis. And then we went to the park. We went and decided what we're having for tea. We were going to go and have some tea somewhere, but there was nowhere open that had that was selling food, or nowhere that they would have wanted to eat anyway, not in the town where we live. So anyway, long story short, we get back to the garage. Well, we get a phone call from the garage saying it's ready. And I was like, great. So got there, went in, said, did it work? He went, did what work? Oh, God, no. This was a different person to the previous person. Like, did what work? So the cleaning of the headlamp. He went, yeah, of course it did. I was like, all right. He said, well, we would have booked it in for cleaning if it wasn't going to work. So I said, well, hang on. I was told it was either cleaning or the headlamp needed replacing. And you were going to try the cleaning. And then, and he went, No, it was always just a cleaning. It was just a bit cloudy. That's all. Like, oh my God. Ah. So I went, all right, perfect. Thank you. And you could tell he was thinking, what's going on? And he just sort of went quiet, started shuffling some papers. He disappeared for a bit. He came back. And then he went, cool, that's £51 then. And I was like, hang on. I was told 65. I'm like, I'm happy to pay 51, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to drive away and then discover that I've paid you the wrong amount. And you're going, hang on a minute, I've done the wrong thing here. Let's get him back. And he went, no, it's £51. He said, that's what I said before. I was like, yeah, but you didn't say that to me. And he's like, yeah, no, that's not what I meant. But yeah, when they came and asked me before, I told them £51. That's how much the kit is. We're not going to charge you to wipe your headlamp. We're not going to charge you labour for that. I'm like, oh my God, okay. So anyway, car had passed its MOT. And I noticed, reading the document afterwards, it passed the MOT 10 minutes after I left for the first time. So literally all he did was wipe it with this cleaning stuff and then passed it. Like, I didn't need to leave it. I could have driven to get the kids. Anyway, car now has an MOT. What a long story. I'm really sorry to give you such a long story, but I will try and keep the rest of them as brief as I can do for the rest of today. However, we then came to the next day. And this is the whole reason why I'm telling you the MOT saga, to be honest. Just so all the effort that I put in from 1:30 all the way until 6:00 to get the car through its MOT. I mean, I didn't put much effort in. It was more time wasted more than anything else because we were having to walk around all over the place. Yeah. I decided for some bizarre reason, and I still to this day don't know why, I decided it would be a good idea to park my car on the way to work in a different place to usual. It was a slightly shorter walk. And I was like, you know what? On this day, it's chucking it down. I don't want to walk in the rain. I'm going to go and park at this other place because it's undercover. And I did. And in doing so, I sideswiped my car down the side of a pillar in the car park and scratched the rear door and the rear, the bit above the wheel. I can't remember what it's called. Wheel arch, the rear wheel arch. I scraped that thing all down the side of a pillar. And I was very disappointed in myself. I was so angry. I just slammed the door shut. I walked off. I didn't even look at it. I'd seen what I'd done in the mirror. It was enough to stop the car. I slammed my brakes on and backed up and I just left it in the space that it was in, slammed the door shut and I stormed off. I'd had enough. I'd really had enough at that point. And so anyway, I checked it out later on in the evening when I got home. And it was bad, but it's not as bad as I initially thought it was. You can hardly see it now. It's been washed a few times and you can hardly tell it's there until you get really close up and then you can see it. There were already some scratches there anyway, so it's not the end of the world. But, oh boy, did it annoy me. So I decided I wanted to treat that night, something to cheer myself up. So I went across to the supermarket. I got myself a bottle of Pepsi and some giant crumpets. I don't know why. I thought giant crumpets will solve this problem. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have some giant crumpets. Gets home. And then I decided to pour myself a glass of Pepsi first. I undoes the cap. I turn to get a glass. And when I turn back, I knock the bottle of Pepsi over. It hit the deck. It hit the worktop. It bounced upwards. It hit the cupboard under the bottom of the cupboard. And then it landed down and it landed with the neck of the bottle in the toaster. And it was fizzing like crazy. So it was shooting Pepsi into the toaster, which was all coming out the bottom of it. So I quickly unplugged the toaster. I pulled the Pepsi out of the toaster, sprayed it around the room in doing so. And then I just got so annoyed, I threw the bottle of Pepsi down on the counter at the wall because it was almost empty at this point. It emptied all over the worktop. It ruined my crumpets. It ruined the toaster. And it took me about 2 hours to clean it all up. I was very annoyed. And during all that, I don't even know how I managed this one, but I turned around in a panic to grab a cloth and I knocked my iPad across the room into the sink. It was a bad day. It was a bad evening. Luckily, my iPad is fine. No dents on it whatsoever. The sink wasn't full of water. The case seemed to do its job. It's been absolutely perfect. I'm recording this show on it right now. But yeah, that was quite possibly one of the shortest days I've had in a long time. Today's Podtails topic was submitted by listener Robin. So thank you, Robin, for this topic. It's actually a really interesting topic. We're going to be talking about the Paisley pattern. The Paisley pattern is that famous curved teardrop shape that seems to pop up everywhere from scarves and ties to bandanas and even guitars. Not going to lie, I nearly said bananas then. But did you know that this design has roots that go back centuries? There's even a fascinating legend about its origin involving a nobleman's unique signature. The Paisley pattern, or bota in Persian, originated in ancient Persia, which is modern-day Iran. Some believe it started as a symbol of life, eternity, and strength, inspired by floral shapes, the cypress tree, or even the mango. Whatever its exact origins, the pattern became a favourite for Persian royalty and was woven into luxurious textiles, especially for formal robes and ceremonial garments. An interesting folktale adds another layer to the story. According to legend, an Indian nobleman or ruler who couldn't read or write would press his thumb or handprint into documents as his signature. Over time, the shape left by his hand, which was like a teardrop with a slight curve, was stylized and adopted into textile designs, contributing to the recognizable Paisley shape. Though there's no historical proof to directly link this practice to the origin of Paisley, the story adds a unique twist to its rich background and reflects how symbols can evolve with cultural storytelling. The pattern spread across South Asia, gaining popularity in India's Kashmir region. There, it was used on shawls, especially during the Mughal Empire. By the 18th century, these colourful, intricate Kashmir shawls were highly prized exports, and the British could not get enough of them. What a shocker. As the British East India Company brought Kashmir shawls back to England, that was hard to say, they became a hot fashion item. The problem? Authentic Kashmir shawls were expensive, so British textile makers found a way to replicate the designs more affordably. The town of Paisley, in Scotland, became the centre of this trend. Using advanced looms, Paisley's weavers could mimic the shawls, adding their own colourful twists. They even invented ways to add more colours to the design, making Paisley shawls accessible to a growing middle class. It didn't take long for the pattern to be named after the town itself, and by the 1800s, Paisley was a must-have design. See, I had no idea that Paisley, or the name for Paisley, more accurately, originated in Scotland. Paisley's popularity has ebbed and flowed over the years, but it's never truly gone out of style. It saw a major revival in the 1960s, with icons like the Beatles rocking the pattern as they embraced Indian and psychedelic culture. Fender even incorporated their guitars with Paisley wallpaper, creating the iconic Paisley Telecaster. And it didn't stop there. In the 1980s, pop legend Prince named his record label and studio Paisley Park, paying homage to the pattern's rock and roll history. Paisley even showed up in the 2010 Winter Olympics when Azerbaijan's team wore Paisley-decorated uniforms. Today, Paisley is as popular as ever, appearing on everything from ties and bandanas to wallpaper and furniture. Brad Paisley, the country singer, yes, that is his real name, is known for playing a Paisley pattern guitar. The pattern also remains a staple in South Asia, with designers using it in everything from fashion to home decor. Whether it's on a suit, a tie, or a guitar, the Paisley pattern continues to be a beloved part of fashion and culture. From its ancient Persian roots to folk tales like the nobleman's handprint and its place in the modern design, Paisley is proof that some styles are truly timeless. So next time you see that distinctive teardrop shape, remember, you're looking at a design with centuries of history and a few legends behind it. And as I said at the start, this topic was suggested by Robin. If you want to suggest your own topic, you just go to thatsafreebie.com and fill in the form there. The podcast of the week for this week, or the pick of the week, which is a podcast, more accurately. I'm about to start running out of podcasts, actually, so we're going to have to start doing some new picks of the week. It means I have to actually start thinking about it more. Is the podcast Under the Radar. Under the Radar is a 30-minute podcast, or around 30 minutes. I think they try to never go more than 30 minutes from what I can gather. It's hosted by Marco Arment and David Smith, and it's about iOS app development. They both make some of the, or two of the most popular applications that are available for iOS, one of them being WidgetSmith and the other being Overcast, the podcast app. And they talk about their journeys in making those apps. They talk about their coding in general. They talk about how pricing apps works and how they make decisions based around like the users and things like that. It's very interesting to give you a little bit of an insight into how app development actually works, because there are things that they have to think about that I don't think I would ever have considered when it comes to making an application. And yeah, it's just very interesting, the same as most things. So yeah, I would suggest having a listen to that as well if you're into learning a little bit more about iOS app development. Not necessarily the coding side of it, but the business of it, or the way it works in general. That is all for this week. I want to say thank you very much for listening. We've made it to 71 episodes together. How amazing is that? I am quite impressed that people have stuck with me for this amount of time. Just hearing me babble on about nothing every single week. So thank you very much. If you want to reach out to me on social media, you can go to thatsafreebie.com, where there are links to pretty much, well, not pretty much, to every single platform that I am on. The link there is there for the show's feedback form if you want to send me any suggestions or topics in. And just a quick reminder as well, there is That's a Freebie Plus. There is a link for it on there. That's a Freebie Plus. Listeners get access to the pre-show and the post-show, which is, the pre-show is usually just me going through my document to make sure everything's available. Sometimes I might give a little bit of a tidbit out. The post-show, or the plus section as I tend to call it, is always an extra topic of something that's gone on during the course of the week. I don't do any editing on that section whatsoever, so you hear my complete thoughts without any changes made to the language that I use, I suppose is the best way of putting it. And I usually try and pick the more spicy topics for that section, just because it's a good place to put it, really. This week, I'm actually going to be talking about the Manchester Christmas markets. Do I love them or do I hate them? Find out in about 10 seconds if you're a subscriber. If not, subscribe.